Right. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Can everybody hear me in the back of the room all right? I've just realised now, I've given two talks, one yesterday, one today, and I never even said who I was. So I'm Stephen Blake, and I have a stand downstairs, and I call the Thought Coach because I help people sort out their thoughts. Not just by going in and doing it for them, but actually teaching them how to do it. So you can continue throughout your life sorting out your own issues rather than having to go to a therapist every time. Okay, so today's talk is about the... I just have to remind myself, because I did one this morning just off the top of my head. The mystery of the unconscious explained. And for those that have been in either of my other two talks, I will cover a few things the same, because obviously you need the basics before you can build on it. So I'll get straight into that. At the end of the session, I'm going to give you the chance to turn off pain. So anybody who wants to do that, there is a... there is a safety measure built in, because obviously pain is there for a reason. But when it's old pain, when it's a sort of historic thing, you don't need pain anymore to actually continue working on your system. Right, if you've got arthritis or whatever, you don't need reminding that you've got it every day. You're already, you know, crippled up, or you can't move joints or whatever. It won't make your joints suddenly become better. It will just stop the pain message to it. So later on, any pain that you've got, if it's old pain, if you don't need it anymore, then I'll talk to you about how you can switch that off, and we'll actually do it while you're here. Okay. So, the unconscious is virtually capable of miracles, and little miracles, and you can have your own little miracle later, okay? But you'll bring it on yourself. The thing about the unconscious, so let me just talk conscious versus unconscious. The unconscious is the thing, some people call it subconscious. Because I'm a trained hypnotherapist, I actually don't call it that, because it's not sub to anything, it's not under. It might be under your knowledge, but it's not, it's above. It's above your consciousness. Because it does virtually everything for you. And your conscious brain does very little. Your conscious brain is almost a sort of, it drives the bus, if you like. But it drives the bus, and the bus might not be working right, but it still tries to drive it. And you have programs running in the background that you've learned from an early age, 80% of which you learned before you were six. So 80% of everything you know about life you learned before you were six. So most of that was influenced by other people rather than what you actually found out for yourself. You didn't actually learn it from sort of, oh, I do this, or when I talk to people this happens, or, you know. You actually learn it from other people, you observe behaviour. And for those fortunate enough to be brought up in kind and loving families, that's what you learn, and that's how you think life is. And those brought up with abuse and neglect think that's how life is. And it clouds the judgment on life. You know, lots of people say, oh, life is so hard, it's incredibly hard. And somebody who's gone through exactly the same might say, oh, life is beautiful, there's wonder everywhere. And really all this is about is just thoughts. And the issue with thoughts is they could be the most painful things in the world, but they're just thoughts. They're not real. And it's not made real by thinking about it. It's made real by believing that what you think about it is real. And we all go through that heartache and everything else. And there's nothing more damaging to us than the actual thoughts that hurt us. Physical pain is nothing compared with it. So, your unconscious has 100 trillion data connections. And somebody has calculated this out, because each one can talk to each one, or the other one can talk to that one. If you times them all up by each other, there are more connections in a human brain than there are atoms in the universe. And that just tells you the awesome power of it. It's absolutely amazing what you can do with it. And the unconscious is controlled by this gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper is your survival system. It absolutely looks after you in every way possible. From the moment you were born, it's run your heart. It's never stopped beating. It's pumping your blood round, it works your temperature, it works your pH levels. It does so many different, hundreds of thousands of things each minute of every day. And there's an old saying, if you ever work anywhere and you give something to a lazy somebody who's got the time to do it, it'll not get done. And if you give it to the busy person in the office, it gets done. And it's the same with what we can do with the unconscious. We can actually use it to our advantage. We can actually tell it what to do, and it'll go off and do it in the background. We don't even know it's working on it, and then it comes back and it gives you the answer. One of the things I ask people to do, or tell them that they can use it for, is if you have a problem with something, or you're confused about things. When you're confused about things, confusion always comes before clarity. Because if you think about clarity, you're already there, aren't you? You know the answer. So there's always confusion before it. But that means that clarity always follows confusion. So if you feel all mixed up about something, there's a tendency that inside our heads we go, oh, I've got that to worry about, I've got that to worry about, I've got that to worry about. Now, your conscious hold 9 bits of data. So if you keep going, I've got that to worry about, then something will crop up that actually takes that out of your mind for a split second. Somebody will call your name, or you'll do something, and that takes it off your mind for a minute. Or we have a drink, and that takes it off our mind, and so on. What comes back from the unconscious, it wants to sort of keep you in touch with things, and it goes, don't forget you've got to worry. Don't forget that problem you've got. So we keep going, problem, 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 and it keeps going, yes, you have, haven't you? You've got a problem. My God, you've got a problem. And it keeps reminding you. And then we wonder why we live a life of misery. And words are powerful things. I mean, the most powerful things on the planet. And we can change that around. We can actually say to the unconscious, I know I've got a problem, right? All I want now is the answer to it. And the answer will come from thinking about things, right? So quite often, if you've got something to do, it's almost like you could put it on a spreadsheet. Well, I have to do that, and then that has to happen, and that has to happen, and that has to happen. And your brain needs to know the parameters to work within. So the unconscious, most of it it will already know. But if you go to bed at night, before you go to sleep, that sort of dozing off area is almost the same as being in a hypnotic trance. And you can use that time to program yourself. So instead of this not getting to sleep because it's like worry, 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 I've got this problem, 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 which stops you from getting to sleep, you can actually say to it, okay, I want the answer to this. And I would like you to work on it, okay? And a few people yesterday, I showed how to talk to the unconscious, and I'll go through that again later in the talk, and then we'll go on to the pain bit. So you can quite easily talk to your unconscious. And in that sort of drifting off state, or even first thing in the morning, you can actually say, okay, now I know I've got a problem. All I want now is the answer. I don't want a problem, I just want the answer. Okay, so when I wake up, can you give me the answer to this? I need to deal with it tomorrow. Or in your own time, can you give me the answer to this if it's something long term? And it might go, okay. He'll accept it. Or it'll go, oh, no, you need to think about a few more things then. Because if you're going to solve this, what happens when that happens then? And how does that work? And what do I really want from the future? Because the thing is, if you don't know what you want, but you don't know how to get it. You don't know where to go with it. So it's like a bit like goal setting, but you don't need to know every step of how to get there. You just need to know where you want to go, and then tell your unconscious that's where you want to go, and let it work the details out. Because it's got 100 trillion data points to work with. And your conscious has got 9 bits of data. 9 bits of data. Not 9 different connections of bits of data, but 9 bits of data. Right. So it's like tiny, absolutely tiny. And even when we worry, we're actually just running a program in the background. And when we feel anxious, that's not a conscious thing, we just feel anxious because we're running a program that was put in there at some point in time that we believed it was doing the right thing for us. One of the first things I ever did, in fact the first client I ever had for therapy, came along to see me for weight loss. And I asked the usual question of sort of, well, what sort of exercise do you get? And she said, hardly any. I said, why? She said, I've got ME. I've had it for 20 years. I work 2 hours a week, and I'm allowed to sit down at any point during that time and make up the time. And I said, well, okay. I'll have a look into that, and I'll see if I can find an answer to that. I'll see you in a fortnight. And she said, what's this going to cost? I said, no, I'm just interested. If I don't know if there is an answer to ME. I just haven't got a clue. And I sat down and studied it. And you don't study things by finding out what goes wrong. You study things by finding out who gets better from things. And then you work out why they got better. And also, if you concentrate on what caused it rather than what the problem is. So the first week I studied ME, I downloaded everything I could from the internet. I had nothing else to do, actually. So I for a week, I absolutely downloaded everything and read things from early in the morning till late at night. And the more I read, the more complex it got. There was four different types of ME with four sub-variations of it, times four, times four, times four. So there's like 16 different types of ME. And then it affected everybody in different ways. And after a week, I nearly gave up. And then somebody sent me a video of three people that recovered from ME. And I listened to the stories, and because I'd studied all these things the week before, I started making connections. And the connection was that each one of these people, everybody who's got ME, if anybody knows anybody or you've got it, I'm going to describe now what you were like before you got the illness. You were a very driven person. Absolutely everybody I've ever met or discussed it with was all really driven people. And they drove themselves and drove themselves and drove themselves until they kept either collapsing or something happened. Or then they come down with a mystery illness. And what's happening is the body is giving you messages. It's saying, you will kill yourself if you carry on with this. I'm going to give you a message. So it gives you a bit of pain. And another day it'll give you some fatigue. And then it'll give you more fatigue. And then you'll fight it. So it'll go, you haven't let last, have you? Have a bit more fatigue so you can't fight me. And then you'll fight it even more. But you fight it from your bed now. And then you lock into it. And then you start thinking. I talked about negativity to the other two groups. If you think, I'll never recover from this, what you're actually saying in your unconscious is, I don't want to recover from this. You don't know you're doing that, but that's what your unconscious hears. Never recover from this. I'll never recover from this. You're actually saying, never recover from this. Okay? And so people who get those illnesses think they can never recover from it. And then it becomes a difficult disease because you actually then, because you look well, people will say to you, well, just let it get up and get on with it. And there's quite a few people who have come out with recovery methods that include really sort of exercising through it. Exactly the opposite of what I found. The more you keep ignoring something, the more it keeps coming back and knocking on the door for you. So pain, bad thoughts, anything are all messages, all sent. See it as a gift. There's somebody knocking on the door with a gift for you. So, if somebody comes to your front door and he's got a parcel to deliver, he goes, parcel! And you ignore him. And he can see through the kitchen window, you're actually in. And you've heard the bell and everything else, and he goes, parcel! And then he carries on, and he starts kicking on the door. Parcel! Right? And this is just like, your unconscious will only do things it thinks help you. So it thinks you're going to kill yourself if you keep driving in that certain fashion. And it'll say, right, that's the equivalent of pulling the main fuse out to the house. It's not ever going back in again, you're dead. And I don't want that main fuse blowing. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to trip a few switches off. I'm going to trip this switch off that gives you energy, so it goes. Right. And then if you fight it, it trips another one off. And then it goes, well, what do I need to stop you? And it goes, I'll give you a bit of pain then. Flicks another switch. Then you get pain. Then you get pain in this. And then you fight it. And you go, well, it's not going to stop me. And you carry on fighting through it. Exactly the opposite of what you need to do. The woman came back 2 weeks later. Like I said, I never treated anyone in my life with therapy. I said, I think I might have the answer to ME. I think I know what causes it. She went, in a fortnight? I went, yeah, I've been studying hard. And I said, well, look, I could spend the next 2 hours actually asking you questions, or I can tell you what I think it's like. So I described how she was a driven person, how this illness had come on, what it had done since, how she felt, what she'd said in her head. And she kept saying, it's like you've read my mind. And I just knew I was on the right track then. I prepared a hypnosis script that just said about letting go and releasing it. And 20 minutes later, she said, I feel a lot better. And within 3 months, she was better. Just from letting go of it and understanding that the harder she fought it, the more she kept it. Okay. So with everybody now that comes to see me, I start off with the same sentence. Do you accept where you are now? Because you have to accept where you are now. Because if you don't accept where you are now, so if you think you should be 3 miles down the road now, how are you going to get in your car? Right? And this is what's happening. If people don't accept where they are now, the situation you've got, even the illness you've got, accept it. I'm not saying bloody like it. Right? I'm saying you have to accept exactly where you are now. And the moment you accept it, you let go. There's a mind-body connection, and I'll get you all to do this with me now. I think I did this yesterday. Okay, I want you to think of something happy. Right, everybody think of something happy. Take a few nice deep breaths. Think of the happiest time of your life. Okay, let the smile radiate to your face. And when you've got that feeling of happiness, I just want you to close in on yourself and lean forward like that. Okay? And try and remain happy. If you don't want to do it, it's fine. Okay. And now from there, you're not feeling happy as happy now, are you? Okay, from there I want you to think of the most miserable thing that ever happened in your life. Right? Just get that horrible feeling, that miserable thing that happened in your life. Okay, and now put your shoulders back. Lift your head up. Tall. You can't think of it in the same way, can you? Okay. So there is a mind-body connection. And that mind-body connection, it's not as bad as this, but that's what's happening on the inside. So when we get all these aches and pains and headaches, it's from the tension we're producing by our very own thoughts. So when we think something's bad, we actually close up like that. And if you think about it, just by changing the body shape. So this is happy and in love. You're sort of, and you don't get ill, do you? When you're in love, you never get ill. It's this immune system flows and all this positive energy, and you might even not be doing the right thing. You might be eating cake and drinking lots of wine. But your immune system's there and everything's pumping away and it's all fine. And as soon as we get things that drag us down, it could even happen in the space of a phone call. You take a phone call, here's some bad news. You go from this to, oh my God. In fact, you can see the back of somebody taking a phone call and see them shrink into, and you go, oh, what's the news? And you know straight away something bad happened. So our body reacts to every thought, every emotion to us. Now, the emotions are brought on by the automatic system. So this unconscious program is already programmed to say, this is how you are. And it might be that you've learnt through life to be negative or positive or whatever, and it drives you like that. You might have a religion or a religious belief or some other belief. And they will be running in the background. And you've got all these loops of programs running in the background. And when you want to alter something, your unconscious will want to do for you what you think is best. But it will always compare it about the programs that's already running. So you could take on something new, but have a deep religious belief that opposes it. And you could say, but I want to do this new thing now. And the religious belief in the background would be more powerful. Because don't forget, it's running within the 100 trillion data bits. So it has the power compared with your 9 bits of data in your conscious. Your unconscious also runs at 100 times the speed of your conscious. This is why we go, oh my God, I'm feeling anxious. And then you go, but why? And then you might see it, and you might see it a split second later. And it's not that you haven't seen it, it's just that you've seen it, but it's not registered with the conscious. But the unconscious has gone, oh God, when that happens, this is what I do. And the same with phobias. So we have what's called an association. So a spider phobia is never about a spider. It's just probably at some point in time somebody's seen a spider and had such a bad reaction because they didn't know what it was, or it moved fast, or it scared them in such a way that they now say, spider, oh, I have to do this. I have to go like that and scream, and then somebody else takes it away from me. So you run all these programs. Some you've developed yourself, some are built within you, but 80% of them were installed by the people around you before you were six. Okay, so you've got lots of programs that you don't need. So you need to start to learn to talk to your unconscious. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to do a variation of yesterday. I think I confused a few people yesterday because I got them working in pairs and you don't really need to. Okay, but Trudy, can you come out the front again? My glamorous assistant, Trudy. Okay. Your unconscious hears every word you say. It understands English. I presume everybody's first language here is English. It understands English. If you're French, it understands French. Very clever, aren't they? Not just a coincidence. So, but it understands every word you say. And it hears every word said to you. And if you take it on board, if somebody keeps telling you you're ugly or stupid or fat or whatever, you actually take that on board. And it stops you from becoming the opposite. Because it sort of fights it and it goes, yeah, well, that's what you are. And if you're clumsy, it'll never let you be well balanced. Because it's always thinking of, well, that's what you are, that's what you are, because you have it drummed into you. But worst of all is what we say to ourselves. And women will look in a mirror and pick everything wrong with them, even though they're bloody gorgeous. In fact, the more attractive you are, the more you pick on yourself, because at some point somebody said, well, she's that bloody clever. Look at her big toe, it's horrible. Right? So somebody will always find something to pick on you. Right? And if you take it on board and you accept it, but when you say it to yourself, how much worse is that? Because your unconscious believes everything you tell it. It might fish around inside and say, well, where's the program that actually justifies that or goes against that? And if it's a powerful program, it might try and throw it out. But very few people have that self-confidence to be self-regulating and throwing stuff out that's bad. And that's what we need to do, is start taking things and taking the negative and turning it into a positive and saying, okay, if that's what I don't want to happen, then what do I want to happen? You have to frame it in a positive way. You can't ask for something you don't want, because you think of it as though you're thinking pictures. So I don't want the biscuit is a picture of a biscuit. You know, you can't have a cross through it. I don't want to hit that tree in my car. I'm skidding. I don't want to hit that tree. The best way to do it is to look where you want to be, and you'll actually turn the steering wheel to where you want to be. And the same in life. You have to turn the steering wheel towards where you want to be. And if you live your life looking over your shoulder, you're going to run into a lot of things. And that's what we do when we live in the past. We're doing this. Right. And we don't look much forward. We actually look to the past all the time. Okay. Any point in time, you can change your future. Right. Okay. So I'm going to try and sort of get a lot done in the next 10, 15 minutes. One of the things is I want you to be able to get in touch with your unconscious. And I can understand if people don't want to do this because some people find it a bit spooky or whatever. There's nothing spooky about it at all. It's already running your heart and your lungs and everything else. It's not going to turn them off. Okay? All we're doing now is actually saying, look, this little 9 bits of data is the bit I think with. And that tells me where I want to be in the future, or can make decisions about where I want to be in the future. Whereas the back bit just runs the programs. Every program it runs is either given to you when you were born, or you've learnt since, or you've trained it to do. By if you have a bad habit, you do it, as they say, if you do it for 28 days, you get it. That's now passed over to you. And it's the same in the car with the clutch and the accelerator. When we first get in there, we have to think about it consciously, and we can't do the clutch, the accelerator, and then he goes, mirror! And you go, no, I'm doing this and this, and it's really technical, I can't mirror as well. And now you just get in your car and you just do that, and you don't even know you're doing it. So everything we learned at one stage was a conscious act, and then when we've done it enough times, the unconscious goes, hello there, I can run that. I'm running hundreds of sales and think I'll do another thing. So I'm going to ask you to get in touch with your unconscious now, if you want to. Those of you who don't want to, you don't need to. But all this will enable you to do is to actually start directing your life and stop these unwanted programs running you. Okay? And you can pick those out at will and talk to them about it. But you always must talk to it positively. So, we'll just do this sitting down today. So, I want you all to take 3 deep breaths. And notice and just feel relaxed. At the end of each deep breath, I want you to drop down your shoulders and just leave them down there while you're breathing again. Just do 3 deep breaths. And I'm going to talk a bit quieter now. Hope you can still hear me at the back. Okay. Well, all I want you to do now is actually, I'm going to talk to your unconscious with you. First of all, I want to thank your unconscious, and you want to thank your unconscious for helping you live to this age. Because without your unconscious, you wouldn't have got here. It's run your heart and your lungs and your temperature and your pH levels and everything. It's doing hundreds of thousands of programs. Even the ones we don't like anymore were put in there by you. It's running a program that you developed or was developed for you. Even the things that are unhelpful, even the pain is something it thinks you need. So thank it for everything it gives you. And just say that sometime in the future I'm going to ask you to tweak a few bits. Not your fault, mine. I put it in there, I want it to change, okay? But now I want you to give me a sign for yes. And I want you to give me a sign for yes in such a way that I understand it's not me doing it. This is not you verbalising yes. I want it to either push your head forward or scrunch your eyes up or make you twitch somewhere in your body, and I want it to do that now as a sign of yes, just to show you it exists. And just wait for it. Don't try and bring it on, because it's not you that's doing this. This is your unconscious. So to everybody's unconscious out there, just ask it to give you a sign for yes that is so powerful you know it's definitely a sign for yes. And when you've got it, can you just open your eyes and head back. Okay, we're asking for a sign for yes from your unconscious. Just to say it exists, nothing else. Take as long as it takes. Just relax into it. Just enjoy it. Wait for it to give you a yes. So I'm going to command it now. I want everybody's unconscious that hasn't worked with them yet to actually give them a sign for yes, and do it now, please. Make it powerful, make them understand they're going to sign for yes. Okay? Anybody not there yet? You're not there. Okay. Come and see me afterwards and I'll do it individually, because I'll show you something like I'm going to show the 3D, which is if you do it standing on balance, and all I'm going to do is ask Trudy to unconscious to join in with this and actually give her a sign for yes, but I want it to be something quite noticeable. So she doesn't go, oh, I've got a bit of a twinge on my thumb, I bet might be, it might not. So, okay, Trudy's unconscious. So you just relax. And all I want is your unconscious to get in touch with you and just give you a sign for yes. Okay, thank you, unconscious. And it is as simple as that. Right, where was I going from here?
No, pain.
Oh, pain, right, okay.
Pain.
So who wants to switch pain off? Okay, right. Did you, all of those that said yes to turning pain off, did you get a good signal for yes? You didn't. Some did, some didn't. Okay. There's people after me. Yeah. Okay. I'll deal with all those that got a good signal for yes first, and then I'll try and do a bit later anybody that's not got there yet. Okay? Because it's more awkward if it hasn't said yes yet, because it might not say yes to the next thing. Okay? So you can either carry on sitting there, or you can do a stand-up and just get this sort of yes feeling. Okay, do whichever you like. So we're going to go for it now. All right, everybody into this?
Yeah.
Okay, now, the unconscious will never give you anything unless it thinks it's a necessary for you or it's a valuable thing for you. So if you have pain, if it's a current thing, so you banged yourself yesterday, that's a current thing. You might need to do something about it. You might have broken something. So we don't want to turn that pain off, do we? But if you've got a long-term pain and there will be no problem if it turns off, then it can be turned off. But we need your unconscious to understand that. So just put yourself in that relaxed state again. I'm just going to ask you a question to your unconscious. Okay, so I'm going to ask your unconscious. First of all, I'm going to thank it for giving you the pain. Now that sounds a bit silly, but if we accept that we've got the pain, okay, we thank the unconscious for giving you it because it was the knock on the door that said, you've got a problem. And now we're going to ask your unconscious if it's possible, without it hurting you in any way at all, and that it's perfectly acceptable to turn the pain off, if that's a sensible thing to do. So, is it a good idea to turn this pain off because it will give you a better life? And just go inside and ask for a yes. And now ask it if it will turn the pain off. Just say, will you turn the pain off? Bearing in mind it will do me no harm. I'll come to no harm. Turn off the old pain. This will not switch off the pain to that area of your body for future things. So it's perfectly safe and happy to do so. Just ask it if it will turn the pain off for you. And now I want you to say, and please do it now. And give me a yes when you've finished. And if you have that yes, thank it unconditionally for doing so for you. Come back into the room for a while. Okay, did anybody feel the pain go? Nice tingling sensation or anything? Anybody? Okay, right. It's difficult to do on mass. So, the structure of this is learn to get in touch with your unconscious, get very definite yeses from it. You don't need a no signal, by the way. Just ask it questions that have a yes. It'll just not answer you if it can't do a yes. So you ask it, or you get it to prove that it's in touch with you. You talk to it on a regular basis. You ask it for things that are positive and you phrase it in the positive. You ask it if it will do it for you. And then you ask it to do it and give you a yes when you're finished. Pain, you always have to state that it can only switch off the pain that is unnecessary. So old pain actually starts as a problem. It gives you the knocking on the door and then it just forgets to switch off. Once you've had chronic pain, it just keeps running and running and running. And anything that starts off as a neural pathway, if the trigger keeps going down, it turns into a neural motorway. Okay, so as soon as it's formed that really tight bond, it finds it difficult to let go of it. You need to be aware that if you've got a protective system in there that you're trying to turn off, the protective system has a protective system. Because it thinks that without that, you're going to come to harm. And so a bit like yesterday when I talked about a phobia I had once, it had such a protective layer on it because it thought if I went in a closed area I would die. So it made it so hard for me to go in a closed area by bringing on a panic attack, chest pains, lack of breath, the whole lot. It was more likely that was going to hurt me than actually being in a confined space. So when I recovered from... You can't do any of this while you're in the panic situation. You have to turn it off before it happens. And so after it happened and I started to recover again, I actually spoke to myself for 2 minutes and said, every association you've got there, I want you to switch it off. I'd never again want that pain. I don't want that tightness of chest. I don't want to not be able to breathe. I don't want to think I'm going to die of a heart attack just because I'm in a little box-type situation. I can still breathe. There's no danger there. The danger was invented by me when I was younger and I wouldn't have my injection and I thought I was going to get polio. Right? So it was a made-up story I had that actually gave me claustrophobia. And as soon as I told my brain that, it fetched out every association and I'm absolutely fine now. So here's the box I'm going to go in now. Okay, so the unconscious brain is all powerful. It's up to you to direct it in a way, but you do need to talk to it. You need to talk to it nicely. Treat it as a small child of yours. So you would coax it into things, you would treat it in a way. Sometimes you just need to say, stop it, I'm not having that anymore. I don't want that feeling. This is not helpful to me. You're totally on the wrong track. I thank you for giving me that message, but it's totally the wrong message. It's not appropriate for me now. So switch it off, and it will do it. Okay, but you have to convince her. Lovely. Okay, thank you everybody, and I'll deal with anybody's questions. Okay. Okay. Have a good time.